From Odyssey, I'm Lauren Berry, and this is the On Deadline podcast, where you get a deeper dive into stories from our radio newsrooms across the nation. Today On Deadline is pondering what's next as President Joe Biden is officially no longer seeking re-election. That's left Democrats scrambling less than a month out from their convention and around 100 days out from the presidential election. This has never happened before in the United States. Neither has the opponent on the other side narrowly escaping an assassination attempt with a last-second turn of their head just 72 hours before his nominating convention. So here we are, together, in uncharted territory yet again. Let's catch up. This weekend, President Joe Biden made his decision to leave the presidential race after weeks of speculation, criticism, fear, reported closed-door talks, and discussions with his family. That was all following his rough performance at a debate last month against former President Donald Trump. With Biden now opting to focus only on finishing out his current term, he's left the door open for a new Democratic nominee. He offered his support to his vice president, Kamala Harris, who many argue is the natural successor to lead the ticket. However, as The Hill noted, Harris still has to win over enough delegates before the party's national convention next month in order to score the official nod. So for now, she's the heir apparent. For her part, Harris has made it clear that she intends to earn and win the nomination in less than a month. But what do the other Democrats think? Minnesota Senator Amy Klobuchar shared more on the situation with Odyssey.
So many names being kind of thrown out as possible people to be a vice president under Harris. What are your thoughts on the list? Who would you support? Who would you recommend to her? And what would you think of Governor Walz being on that list?
Well, first of all, Governor Walz would be great. I think we all know that he has been a strong leader for our state. And there are other candidates as well who'd be really good. She actually has this incredible list of people that she can look at to pick a candidate. It's going to be a little bit of a speed dating situation, Anita, because there just isn't the time in the last time when I was considered for vice president. A few years back there, after I ran for president, there was this like lengthy process where you would interview with different people and they would vet you and you would move on to the next stage as they narrowed it down. And there's not going to be time for that. Now, fortunately, she knows a lot of these people, including Governor Walz. So I think they'll be able to get it narrowed down quickly.
Here's some snippets of what other state and federal leaders think should happen. Scores of Democrats are flocking to support the vice president, and one of them is California Senator LaFonza Butler. She shared her reasoning on Monday.
It wasn't that long ago that the Democratic Party circled the wagons around President Biden and told voters that what they were seeing with their own eyes shouldn't really be a concern. Now the party is, for the most part, circling the wagons around Kamala Harris to be the nominee for president. Why should we believe the party this time that she is the best possible candidate?
Well, first of all, I think that it is a remarkable demonstration of servant leadership, the way in which President Biden is passing the torch and being that bridge to the next generation of leaders, of which I think Vice President Harris is the pinnacle of. He is for the American people to know and your listeners to understand about who she is and how she has shown up consistently in her career, whether she was the district attorney in San Francisco, the attorney general of the state of California, the United States senator from our state or vice president. She has been the kind of servant leader committed to people, everyday people, whether she was ensuring that they got justice in the courtroom, making sure that the state justice system worked to protect everyone from transnational gangs or big banks who were exploiting them. She has been committed to the kind of leadership that I think the American people want and a representation of the values of truth and justice that we all would aspire for our children to have and leaders to look up to. And so it is I have known this candidate. I've known the vice president for more than a decade. And I would put my relationship with her and what I know about her to the test to talk to anyone about who she is and how they can expect she would lead.
When it comes to other names being thrown around as possible Biden replacements, Republican Congressman Tim Walberg of Michigan shared that not all the names being talked about are actually ready to throw their hat in the ring, including his state's governor.
So what role do you think Governor Whitmer will play in the election going forward?
Well, she'll be a strong supporter of the Democrat ticket. She has been a strong supporter of the Biden-Harris ticket.
You don't think she'll be on the ticket?
Who knows what's going to happen at the convention? But right now, it's Harris. And Harris, by right of the primary process, and the Democrats say they're concerned about the Republicans destroying democracy. I think it's just the opposite in their actions during their leadership, but also here with the process in the Democrat primary system. But no, at the rally on Saturday, former President Trump very clearly said that he would not be all that opposed to running against our governor because her record and her statements and her ability to tell everybody else how to live during the COVID, for instance, and yet she chose and her husband and family chose to live a different way than the rest of us. Those are things that will come back in a presidential race, and I don't think that Gretchen Whitmer is prepared or ready for it. I don't think she showed the success in this state in many areas. And I think Donald Trump will be very well prepared to run against her if that's the case. But I don't think that'll be the case.
Despite the growing anticipation and potential battle between Democrats for the nomination, Democratic Senator Tina Smith is looking to remind people of one of our nation's most important virtues, the democratic process.
Well, so I think it's interesting. It's a very interesting question. There actually is a process. The way that a person becomes the official nominee of our party is that they have to get they have to be voted in by the delegates, something like 4,600 of them that are folks from all over Minnesota and all over the country that are Democrats and who have gone to the Democratic National, will go to the Democratic National Convention. So that's what will happen. What I think we're seeing here is a groundswell of support for Vice President Harris, and we're not seeing anybody else getting into the race. And I think one of the reasons that's happening is that she is such a strong contender. She is so qualified. She has been already elected with President Biden by the American voters, and was also his partner as he was elected through the primary process. So I think she is, many people are seeing that she is so well qualified and so well positioned, and we'll see if somebody emerges to challenge her. Of course, they could. At the end of the day, the delegates to the national convention will decide.
We're already seeing ads on social media for Vice President Harris talking about the prosecutor versus the felon. That's how they're terming it right now. And you can see that in the weeks and months to come. We'll be hearing more of that. Do you think she is too liberal?
You know, I don't think that is the case at all. In fact, as when she served as a district attorney and as a prosecutor, and even when she was in the United States Senate, she was not amongst the most liberal of the senators by any means. What I think is interesting about her background is that she has, as I said, she served as a prosecutor. She knows how to prosecute the case. She is a tough fighter. She also has a lot of grit and a lot of charisma, like you expect to see in a prosecutor. And of course, as vice president, she has been right at the right hand of President Biden. She has developed really formidable foreign policy expertise. And none of that is about being liberal versus conservative. It is about being competent and about being prepared to do this incredibly challenging and important job.
Assuming that Harris will become the nominee, the next natural question is this one. Who should she pick as her running mate? That's a tricky one because the list of names includes many that could be seen as challengers for the presidential nomination. While Harris makes her decision, and the Democrats make their decision about Harris, the New York Times noted that many believe she'll choose a man to balance out the ticket along gender lines. It also indicated that she'll pick one from a swing state that she needs to win in order to claim the Oval Office. Brad Bannon is a Democratic strategist, and he shared his thoughts on this situation with Odyssey in Los Angeles.
Do you feel that Kamala Harris will be able to draw in some of those younger voters, too? Yes, I do. She is only 59. I think she appeals to young voters, female voters, to Latino and African-American voters. And those groups have been somewhat shaky with Joe Biden. And I think one of the secrets to appealing to young voters for the vice president, if she becomes the candidate, I think she should pick a young Democratic governor to be on the ticket with her. Somebody like Governor Andy Beshear of Kentucky, who's only 46, won a tough reelection race in a red state last year. And by having someone like Beshear on the ticket, that would make it a lot easier to rejuvenate Democratic support among younger voters.
You know, we asked Jack Pitney about this before you came on with us, Brad. There's already, a ton of speculation of who it's going to be, who the running mate's going to be. But right now, a lot of the focus seems to be around Pete Buttigieg. Is that a viable candidate? Is that somebody that could appeal to the young vote, the black vote, the Latino vote?
I think Mayor Pete, or Secretary Pete as he's now, is young, he's vibrant, and I think it would be incumbent on Vice President Harris to bring someone to the ticket like Mayor Pete or Governor Beshear and I think that would help the Democratic ticket with young voters, and I think it would rejuvenate the Democratic generational support in the race against Donald Trump.
Regardless of what happens with Harris or whomever becomes the nominee, one thing is for certain. The game has changed. Before, the battle was between two white men of a certain age. Now Democrats can flip that script. Their candidate is young and active. She works out every single morning and famously found out she and Biden won the 2020 election while out on a run. Who can forget that "We Did It, Joe" phone call that soon became a meme? Trump, on the other hand, is 78 years old. Though he seems to have boundless energy and has said that he feels like he's in his 40s, polls do show that Americans want a president who isn't serving in the Oval Office during their 80s. Democrats will most likely hammer home on this point now that they can. To share more on what to expect in this new ballgame, KCBS political analyst Doug Sovereign, also a friend of the show here at On Deadline, joined Odyssey.
Pretty extraordinary. Yeah, I mean, we did expect this. I mean, I think the last time we spoke, I think I said we thought he would drop out Sunday or Monday, but it's still a shock when it happens, right? So yeah, it's pretty incredible. And how quickly, what is really amazing is how quickly the Democrats are coalescing around Kamala Harris. I mean, it's clear that she's kind of been anointed by Biden and most of the party leaders, and she's racking up the delegates and raising an extraordinary amount of money and really trying to make this a fait accompli very, very quickly.
Yeah, that money, that is it's remarkable. And those are all types of donors, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, they put out a call on Act Blue, which is a very popular Democratic fundraising platform. I'm sure people get texts all the time from it and have raised somewhere in the neighborhood of $60 million in less than 24 hours. That is a record one-day haul. That's just incredible. That's more than, Trump raised after his conviction, which was a huge amount of money. It's a lot of money, and it shows the injection of energy that this announcement has given a lot of Democratic Party voters who were not that thrilled with having to vote for Joe Biden again.
So, assuming that she does become the nominee, how do you run a campaign like that? Do you run the "I'm not Donald Trump" campaign, or "here are my strengths," reproductive rights being on top?
I think both. I think first and foremost, now they can no longer say, "Well, you're old and not up to the job." They will try to question her qualifications, which is kind of funny to me. The idea that people, I'm actually hearing this, she's not qualified, quote unquote, to be president. Okay, this is a woman who was a DA, she was an assistant DA for many years in both Oakland and San Francisco. Then she was the district attorney for 8 years. Then she was the attorney general of California. Then she was in the U.S. Senate, and she's been vice president for 4 years. There's no question that she's quote-unquote qualified. Comparison, Donald Trump had never served in any capacity in the military, in the government of any kind. J.D. Vance has been in the Senate for 18 months, so it's kind of a joke that somebody would question whether she's qualified. Now, in this case, that might be a dog whistle for, you know, we don't think she could be should be president, but it's not. You can't question whether she actually has the qualifications to be president. So she's got to run as the not Trump. They have to frame this as a debate about Trump and his fitness for office. And she's got a, you know, they've got a very good attack line, which is, would you rather have a prosecutor or a convicted felon? I mean, she can say, I'm a prosecutor, he's a criminal, end of story.
As I record this, Trump is still leading Harris in head-to-head matchups, just like he was with Biden. But a CBS YouGov poll that had Trump leading Biden 52% to 47% now has Trump leading Harris 51% to 48%, a one-point difference. When it comes to who America actually likes, on July 21st, a 538 analysis showed Harris with a 38.6% approval rating. Trump had a 41.7% approval rating. Democrats will have to put together a quick turnaround in their vote-gathering efforts to put up a fight against Trump. He's earned 3 Republican nominations and has run 3 campaigns. Voters in Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania are likely the difference between the candidate who becomes the next president of the United States and the one who offers a concession speech. In early July, the Biden campaign sent a memo to its staffers. It said that winning those blue wall states was the clearest pathway to victory and to 270 Electoral College votes. How would Kamala resonate with the people there? We'll have to wait to find out. A lot can happen between now and November, so stay tuned to the On Deadline podcast for all you need to know. This show is produced by Joe Keady, Christy Strouser, and by me. I'm Lauren Berry, and I want to say thanks for listening to On Deadline, Odyssey's serving of a top news story just for you. Subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts to stay informed.